Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertrand sitting in for Steve. Born on this day back in 1940. Very talented drummer and singer with the very talented band, The Band, Levon Helm. Born in 1940, died in 2012 at the age of 71 years old. Initially, the band called The Hawks, backed up Bob Dylan, and the band had their own very nice career. Night They Drove Old Dixie Down and The Waits. That second album is just classic. Up on Cripple Creek, one of the band's songs that Levon Helm took lead vocals on. Levon Helm, born on this day back in 1940. Thanks so much for joining us. Scott Bertrand in for Steve. We're joined by Tyson Langhofer. He is an Alliance Defending Freedom Senior Counsel, Vice President of the Center for Academic Freedom. Tyson, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Scott.
Alliance Defending Freedom making some news this week, filing a lawsuit representing two college students at Michigan State University in this federal lawsuit challenging Michigan State University officials. The story here, Tyson, is almost hard to believe, but the facts apparently are clear. Tell us more about this case.
It is hard to believe. I agree. I've sued a lot of universities, and this is some of the most egregious actions by a professor that I've seen. But essentially, Professor Amy Wisner was she taught a Marketing 250 class, so it's a required course for all business majors. And this year, in the class, she, as a part of her syllabus, she required all the students to join a website called therebellion.com, and they had to pay $99 to join that. And the students were initially like confused why they had to join this, because Michigan State has a free online learning platform where, you know, you can do all of the exact same things with a lot more functionality than this Rebellion website. But they became more concerned when a couple students found a Facebook post by the professor where she said all proceeds of the Rebellion.com will be donated to Planned Parenthood. And obviously, that was a real concern for my clients, Nathan Barbieri and Nolan Radomski, because they're pro-life and they're Christians and they're against abortion, and they were being forced to pay $100, which would then be given to Planned Parenthood. So that's what led to the discovery, and that's a real problem, you know, because professors can't force students to fund political organizations as a requirement for an academic course.
Do the math on here, Tyson, and it's $100 a student, and it seems like the professor here had about 600 students each term, and so that means $60,000 each term mandatorily funneled through to organizations that she supports but not the students support. There's all sorts of issues at stake here, including free speech and compelled speech. Is there indications that Michigan State officials knew what was happening in this class?
That's unclear. That's something we are going to find out. I mean, to Michigan State's credit, after the students brought this up, Professor Wisner was removed from the class, and they did provide a credit back. The problem is that it appears that there's a policy that was adopted this past year that may have authorized this. And so that's why we have also, you know, sued officials of the university, because we want to ensure that other professors don't use this same methodology to force students to pay additional money and on top of tuition, which they could then use to fund their own political ideology. And so it's not clear, but it, you know, again, she is no longer teaching at the university, and they did refund the money. But as you indicated, the real problem here is that means that Professor Wisner, she wasn't forced to pay this money back. So she has $120,000 at her control that she may still be using to support causes that these students disagree with. And so what we're asking the court to do is force her to pay that money back and to give an accounting of what she did with these funds.
There was a statement provided to students once they paid the subscription fee, and it told the students that the membership pays for use of technology to pay for guest speakers, educators, facilitators. So it made it sound like it was specifically for class purposes. I mean, we're going to bring guest speakers in. We're going to have technology. This is a fee for what we're doing in the class. Is there, again, any indication that any of that money whatsoever went to support education learning in the classroom?
Well, there isn't. I mean, in the past, she had guest speakers in the past and never had was required to charge students in addition, you know, to pay for these guest speakers. Most guest speakers aren't paid for coming in and speaking for 45 minutes, especially because this was an online class. They just appear by Zoom. So there's no money there. And this isn't about delivering curriculum. I mean, this, you know, when you look at the rebellion and what she's talking about, it has nothing to do with business communications. This class was designed to teach students how to communicate in the business world. It wasn't about burning down the patriarchy, like which is what exactly what the rebellion is all about, and what Professor Wisner has promoted it on her other platforms, social media and otherwise.
Talking with Tyson Langhofer, he is Alliance Defending Freedom's Senior Counsel Vice President for the Center for Academic Freedom at ADF, which is adflegal.org. You mentioned this earlier, but I just wanted to be clear about this. The university has provided credits for the students who enrolled in the class. So the students theoretically have been made whole. They get their $99 back. But that doesn't account for the money that the educator here ended up getting, around $120,000 or so. And then the point of actually taking this lawsuit is to, what, enact policies that would prevent something like this from happening in the future?
Yeah, it's definitely – so my clients are both sophomores. They just completed their sophomore year. They have two more years at Michigan State. So we want to ensure that no other professor at Michigan State forces them or any other student to pay money over and above tuition to fund their own private ideological causes. But secondly, we do want – we don't believe that Professor Wisner should profit at all from this unlawful and unconstitutional compelling of speech and these additional funds. And so we, you know, we believe that she should pay those back. Because as long as she has those, she essentially still can go out and be using them to engage in an ideological speech that these students disagree with.
This is seems to me to be, and you can confirm or deny, a pretty unusual case into how this money flowed and then how it was used. How does this compare to some other compelled speech cases you know of inside of classrooms across the country?
Yeah, you're right. It is unusual. I have not seen this type of thing before, and hopefully it is a one-off and nobody else is doing this. But there are lots of problems right now with the government forcing or trying to compel individuals to speak messages they disagree with, and that's very clear. The Supreme Court has never upheld a law which allowed the government to compel somebody to speak a message they disagree with. And so one example would be we're challenging many policies which would require either students or professors to use pronouns that that are inconsistent with a student's biological sex, in other words, to say something they disagree with. And so that's a typical type of policy that we're seeing that would compel speech. We also have, you know, creative professionals where they're being forced to express messages through their art that they disagree with. So that's a typical type of compelled speech claim. This is another permutation of that's new that I haven't seen before.
Tyson Langhofer, Alliance Defending Freedom, Senior Counsel Vice President of Center for Academic Freedom there, and you can find more at adflegal.org, adflegal.org. Tyson, we'll keep an eye on this case as it moves through the system, and appreciate your work. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Scott.
That's Tyson Langhofer from Alliance Defending Freedom. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on The Steve Gruber Show.
I get off of this mountain, you know where I want to go.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
Business owners know there's no substitute for experience. In Michigan, that means the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. The Michigan Chamber is always working to protect, connect, and strengthen Michigan companies. The Michigan Chamber is on the front lines every day, getting Michigan back to work. That's never been more important than it is today. The Michigan Chamber is dedicated to Michigan and the men and women that make it work here every single day. The time is now for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
This is the Steve Gruber Show, the fearless pursuit of truth.
The Steve Gruber Show is the fastest growing talk show in America, so thank you. Without you, none of this would be possible. The relentless pursuit of truth, common sense, and honest answers to the most important questions of the day isn't easy, but it's critical to our future. Find out more, stevegruber.com.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.